Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Recording, buddy?
Yeah, we're recording. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, how good I'm welcome to the High Potion Podcast. It's your boy, Goro Mialjima.
And I'm Kiryu Katsuma. And let me tell you right now, buddy, last week on High Potion and Blue Harvest, things got a little rough. Rough waters, all right? So I'm here to tell you, I'm sitting in my little goblin lair with nary a drop of twisted tea in my system or any gummies. Now, when we get done, that's a different story. But for now, I needed a smooth sailing episode for once. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, you are like the engineer, the beating heart of these podcasts. I just have to show up and talk dumb shit into a microphone. So I am not, let's say, I don't get gummied up.
Right.
I get flowered up.
Yeah, there you go. Flowered up. That's good. God damn it, Sean!
That motherfucker still just stays downloading.
Bruh. He told me, you want to see Foundation, huh? Well, I'll make sure to download all those episodes while you guys are recording. So you guys might have heard us talking over the last couple of weeks about maybe getting back into Final Fantasy 14. And it happened. And so what we're going to do today is talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about our new free company. I keep calling it a guild, but it's a free company that we're going to be setting up where all you guys, if you want to play with us, you can join our free company. And we'll be a big, big group of dumbasses. I don't know.
Yeah, big old bunch of dumbasses. It'll be fun, man. It'd be nice. We got friend Blue Harvest. Friend Sal Perales.
Oh, he's friend of High Potion as well, for sure.
We should have him on sometime.
We should. I mean, all I have to say is, Sal, can you talk about Final Fantasy IV for an hour? And he'd be like, shit, bro, I got you, dog.
He definitely is versed in the same kind of stuff we are, for sure.
Yeah, so we definitely need to have Sal on. King Tom, we got a soft commitment from King Tom last night. I haven't checked in with him today. Because I don't want to bother the dude and be like, did you really download it?
Did you mean it?
And I did. I asked Sean Hoffman if he wanted to play too. So I'm hoping maybe he'll join in, you know?
Look, man, listen. Hey, you know, Randy, old Sith List head ass Randy, friend of the podcast, Randy. His lady, she enjoys the MMOs.
She
yeah?
likes Final Fantasy 14 specifically. I haven't put the full court press on Randy yet, but I'm about to. Randy and Joy need to join in too, you know? That's what I think.
I think that would be great. We're trying to get everybody as we can, man. You know?
Yeah.
Come hang out, you know, run around, look like we are dressed as cat boys. We'll get into all this.
Yeah. God damn it, Sean.
He's downloading all the FF14 expansions.
Yeah. Yeah, and a key cracker or something. You remember the days of downloading key crackers, Steve? Or did you ever get that degenerate with your fucking...
No, I never got that degenerate.
Boy, did I. Boy, did I. Damn, I'm broke, and I would like to play that PC game.
You want to play all five Commander Keen games?
Yeah, Yeah, Commander Keen, Jazz jacking off or whatever that game was. Sailing those seas of piracy back in the day. You know, it's really weird for me to think about this, but like, you know, from like the late 90s or whatever, when Napster, you know, first sort of showed up, until late 2000s, like, downloading torrents and pirating shit was just a way of life. And now I just don't do it anymore because they've finally made it easy for me to actually pay them money for this shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But for the longest time, whew, boy, was I pirating stuff. Do you remember a game called Freedom Force on the PC, Steve?
I don't know if I do. It's not ringing a bell.
So let me pull it up. It was sort of like a...
I do remember this game. Yeah. I 100% do, yeah.
It was like, we have Marvel and DC superheroes at home, but XCOM. And I was so interested in this game. What the fuck was this? That ain't the same thing.
It was pretty cool, yeah. Like, the poster child was like this Revolutionary War era kind of looking ass.
Yeah, it had like a
throwing tea off a boat head, yeah, ass dude.
Yeah, it had like a sort of a Bronze Age of comics feel to it. And I remember the games being really fun, but I'm here to tell you, Steve, I didn't play a single cent for either of the Freedom Force games. Just pirated those bad bitches. And then when Freedom Force 2 came out and I pirated it, you know, every now and then you would, well, you know, if you downloaded stuff like that off the internet, things could get a little dicey. And I want to say it was Freedom Force 2, the second game, where I installed it. And any time I turned on my computer after I installed this bootleg copy, R. Kelly's I Believe I Could Fly would just start blaring out of my speakers on my desktop. Yes, this is the one. This is the one. Freedom Force versus the Third Reich.
I never played that one.
Bro, if you put this game out today, Freedom Force versus the Third Reich, there would be legions of fucking neckbirds being like, Oh, bad guy Nazis again, huh? Huh? Whatever happened to freedom of speech, Freedom Force? Anytime you talk about fucking beating up Nazis, there's a group of dudes on the internet that take that real personally. And I'm like,
yeah,
why are you taking that so personally?
Yeah, they seem to get mad for
with
some
your
reason.
Goofy ass haircut. You know that fucking new age Nazi haircut,
you know,
that
they
all the Nazis
make
got.
A tower defense or like a Dota type based on January 6th.
Oh my God.
Where you
you got to keep Mike Pence from getting hung by a bunch of rednecks.
You sure about that?
You have to set up like lines of fire and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, they upgraded to tiki torches. You got to do like resource management and shit.
Yep, yep. Got to research the fucking water bucket.
Oh my God. Oh no, they're flying the "Don't Tread on Me" flag, Steve.
Oh boy,
they'll be here any minute.
That flag really should say "Tread on Me Harder, Daddy." Not to get all political on you or anything.
Oh man. Oh man. Oh boy. There sure are some tools out there, my dude.
Sure are.
Man, I have... So, before we got a couple of voicemails. Before we jump into that, I have learned, Steve, and I'll go ahead and tell you why this is the case, is that I do not have the desire or mental capacity to check in on any kind of fucking internet drama anymore. And it's because of Star Wars, right? But... what was it, yesterday or Friday? The day Dragon's Dogma came out, I had to check out. Like, I was just trying to see some legitimate reviews of the game, right? And all it was, like, Twitter, you know, was never, like, a bastion of, like, a fun place to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
But it has
good
gotten...
good discourse.
Yeah, yep. Great discourse, never anything cringy, but it has really gotten worse since old Daddy Elon took the reins, right? And all I'm seeing are these dudes that fucking paid for blue check marks being like, everybody's talking shit about Dragon's Dogma, but it's better than Elden Ring. Bitch, you've had the game for 4 hours. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yep, it's culture now, man. It's immediately either the best thing ever or it's the worst thing of all time. It's the way this shit works. You know, like people are complaining, like they're raising hell about the quote unquote microtransactions.
Uh-huh. Yep. I saw that too, and I was like, boy, that sucks. But like,
which seems to be incredibly overblown.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, when I first read about it, I was like, that sucks. Why would you guys do that? And then I start going to look into it, and it's all like, it's microtransactions for stuff that you can get in the game.
Easily get in game.
Yeah, and it doesn't even seem like it's that fucking hard to get these items. So.
It's the same kind of microtransaction. Hold on, scroll back up just real quick. There you go. Yeah, that's cool. Just checking that out.
I'm gonna play that game.
the complaints about it just seem overblown to me. Like, okay, yes, it doesn't run great, I guess, on a lot of PCs. There's some optimization issues, which makes sense.
Yeah, and I'll be completely honest
That's legit complaints. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, to me, performance issues, that's all legitimate. But, like, it's not even the same type of game as Elden Ring. Why are you fucking comparing it, bro? All right? Like, shut up. It was. Yeah. I got real fucking salty today because it was this dude who, and it always is, it's always some fucking coward that has an anime profile picture, you know? They never show their face, right? Fucking 720p picture of their fucking third chin with the fucking neck beard kicking. You know what I mean? Permanent fedora marks around their dome. But this dude was like, all I do is tell the truth or some shit like that. And it bugs people. That's what his like bio said. I was hoping I could scroll through and find this dude. And this dude like, he was like, I've played Dragon's Dogma 2 for about an hour and a half now, and I can already tell you it's going to be and is the best game of the decade. An hour and a half, you dumb bitch! You bitch!
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of stuff I'm saying.
And it's I'm like, you know what I did? I muted that dude, and I got off of Twitter, and I went and played some Final Fantasy Rebirth, and I watched some YouTube, and I was fine. I hate fucking discourse. More than anything, I hate console war discourse.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It is the cringiest.
It really is. And, we never really talked about it much on this program yet. But, like, the kind of shift in Xbox strategy of maybe making more things a little more available to all platforms, you know. Granted, they haven't announced anything super massive like Starfield or... like that, but
the first
there's
two
a couple
are,
games.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush. Sea of Thieves is a game that's been out for, it feels like close to 10 years. There's no way it's been out
a little while. It's been out for a bit, for sure.
Not that I'm not taking away anything from that game. I know it has, like, you know, a dedicated fan base and stuff. It was just not for me. And then Hi-Fi Rush, which was a really good game that I feel like would benefit from having a larger audience. You know, so I don't know, you know, let's see what happens when fucking, you know, will Starfield be on there? Will Elder Scrolls 6 be on anything but Xbox and PC? You know, that's the real questions, not see if the, but buddy, the 2 weeks leading into that, when those rumors were coming out, meltdowns,
big time. I think that Xbox is personally, I think they're in kind of a wait and see mode. Like, they're going to kind of wait and see how things shake out with their first-party things over the next couple of years. Because, you know, hate to say it for the Bethesda fanboys out there, but we got a fucking while to wait on the next Elder Scrolls game.
Oh, it's going to be a bit, for sure.
Yeah, so the decision of whether or not that will be kept on Xbox probably hasn't been made and won't be made for a long time.
I'll be honest with you, buddy. We're probably not getting Elder Scrolls 6 on this generation, if I had to guess.
I would agree. I think that's definitely 100% a next generation game. And probably after the next generation console has been going for a little while, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it would be sick. I always do this and it never happens, so I shouldn't even speak it into existence. But it'd be sick if it was a launch title.
Oh, God, like Oblivion was for the 360.
Oh, my Lord.
That would be, I mean, don't get me wrong, that'd be sick. I'd love that. Skyrim's a great game.
It's kind of like when, you know, remember when they got Elden, or not Elden Ring. I'm still salty over that douchebag on the internet. like, you know, like how when they had Halo Infinite as a launch title for the Series X, remember? Mm-hmm. That worked out. It definitely came out on launch.
Yeah, it was definitely a launch title.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved it. Everybody loved it. It was cool.
Still got tons of players.
Yeah, tons.
And look, I like that game. I'm not trying to shit talk it.
I'm not either. It's just, you know, as someone who
sometimes,
as someone who legitimately likes Xbox and the Xbox ecosystem, I think the Xbox ecosystem is better than PlayStation by a mile. A mile, right? I want to see them get some solid wins in. But eventually, I'm just going to have to give up on hoping for wins, you know?
I would say that's an interesting thing to say, that you prefer the Xbox ecosystem over the PlayStation 100%. By a mile.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Like, almost every aspect of the Xbox UI and user experience of using an Xbox, I think, is a million times better than the PlayStation 1.
I would agree that it's better. I would unequivocally say that it is better.
Party system.
I don't know if I would say it's a million times better, but I do agree.
Hey, man, this is what we're supposed to do, Steve. We're supposed to make fucking outlandish claims and stick to them. A million times. Let me do the fucking equation for you.
Can we do a thumbnail where it's like, high potion post disagree? Is this the end of the podcast where we slightly disagree about something?
Nah, I mean, like I said, getting a party started, way better. The store,
you're right? Yeah, way the party better. System is way better for sure. And
like getting in been. And out of games, way better. Like this fucking, I don't want that stupid bar. Don't show me that goddamn bar down at the bottom when I place push the PlayStation button. Don't you do it. Let's hear some voicemails.
Okay.
We've got one from, speaking of Master or Halo, we've got one from somebody named Mustard Chief. He said, Halls and Steve, please play this on the podcast. Thanks, Mustard Chief.
Hey, Halls and Steve. It's me, Evil Halls. What did you think of the trailer and gameplay for Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves, coming in early 2025? It looks pretty neat. Do you have any advice for people trying to get into Street Fighter? Lastly, what are your thoughts on Guilty Gear Strive? The AI uprising begins now, and Aerith is best girl.
Oh! Bro, that was...
Wow, that was creepy.
Did I just get AI'd, Steve?
You did. You sure the fuck did. So was that Sean, do we think, did the whole thing? It seems like he left his Skeet signature all over it.
I don't know.
I just don't know if it was a reference to the bit.
I think it might have been. I don't know, buddy. I legitimately don't know who would have done that.
Do we need to answer the questions? Like, I can't remember even what he asked because I was so blown away by the fact that it was AI Hawes.
So he wanted us to talk about the trailer for the new Fatal Fury game.
Let's play it.
I haven't watched it yet, so let's check it out.
It's a minute. Yeah.
Peggy 18.
Peg me 18.
Peg me 18.
We did a close zoom up on an arcade machine playing
don't spend the first 20 minutes fucking.
Maybe the next trailer was the one. We're getting a little bit of a look at it. Okay. So it's.
Gonna take you for a ride.
Looks a lot like King of Fighters.
Up, yeah. Right?
Maybe a little more stylized, shadowy, seedy. It looks like King of Fighters took a little bit of influence from Street Fighter.
Yeah, well, you know, it certainly doesn't look team-based, you know?
Right, yep.
Why are these ads running over the... Dear Lord, GameSpot, you suck. The fuck? I'll be honest. If it's as smooth and as fun to play as King of Fighters, I'm in.
Yeah.
Make sure it has cross-play at launch. SNK. Okay?
Agreed. It's going to have that. Like, any game that doesn't have that, looking at you, Mortal Kombat, which I think finally might have it, but I don't know if it was any good.
Yeah, there was... Jeff is a legendary hater of that game, and he had some... I can't even remember what it was, because it just took him too long to get crossplay out. It was beyond my interest at that point. But he did tell us there was something fucked up about the crossplay. Like, I can't even remember what it was. I don't want to misspeak, but yeah, it seems like it didn't go over super well. Mm-hmm. But King of Fighters 15, you know, the first King of Fighters that I've played a decent amount of, was such a good time that I will definitely check this out, especially if it has crossplay. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
not being
something we can play with Jeff.
Yeah.
We'll do it, you know. Yeah.
And then he'll spend all weekend click clacking on his special little fight box or whatever.
Learn
his
some box. 13, 14 hit combo and yep. Then proceed to beat our ass all weekend. Yep. Yep.
And then one day I'm just looking at the hard drive on my PlayStation and I see that game sitting there and I just look around to see if anybody's looking. Delete. As far as any advice for getting started on Street Fighter, oh, buddy, that's a big...
I mean, I don't know. I would say that, like, it's not too hard. You get into it, you pick one person, and then you start playing against the computer.
Yeah.
Until you're comfortable doing the special moves and working them into your regular kind of offense.
Yeah, and you know, any decent fighting game nowadays has like combo trials and mm-hmm. tutorials to teach you how to play the individual characters.
To me though, it's honestly a lot of it is mindset. Because it depends on what you want to get out of it, right?
Right.
If you just want to get into one of these games and turn on the training mode and learn how to do an 8-hit combo so that's what makes you feel accomplished, that's one thing. But if you're wanting to get online and like rise up the ranks in these games, that's a different conversation altogether.
Yeah, it takes a certain amount of dedication.
Yeah, you really kind of have to be dedicated.
You also have to be like prepared to take some losses.
Yeah, lots of losses. These fighting games have a really steep learning curve online.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know that going in. You're not going to excel, and it's going to take some hard knocks out in the streets. So
yeah.
So you know, I love those games. They're real rewarding after you've put in the time, but you just have to know that going in. So
yeah, I mean, you know, pick it up on sale. Street Fighter 6 goes on sale all the time now. You know, like I'm constantly seeing people be like, why would I want to watch the 311 Tiny Desk concert YouTube? You don't know me at all. You don't know me at all.
I did watch the Justin Timberlake Tiny Desk came up in my algorithm the other day, and it was pretty good.
Right on. But yeah, like, it's really just about taking the plunge. You know, fuck around with some characters and find one that you think you like. Like, if you have any experience with fighting games as it is, it's all about finding the characters that match your preferred play style, right? Do you want to play a heavy dude that's a little slower? Do you want to play somebody fast? And then just sort of take it from there. Now, you know, as far as controllers and shit goes, that's really something that you don't want to do until you know you're invested in a fighting game, I think, right?
Most people who, or when I won't say most, but there's lots of people who compete at...
Oh, yeah, with just
very,
the regular
very high
controllers.
Levels with just the regular ass controller that comes with the freaking system. Mm-hmm. So it's just... these days, controllers are just as good as the sticks, It's just whatever your preference is, whatever you feel like doing.
Yeah, whichever.
You know, you and I grew up in an age where that arcade stick was kind of the prized thing, you know?
Yeah, and I just never had one.
Me neither, yeah.
I got really good with like a 6-button Sega controller, right?
Same, yeah.
So that's where, you know, I tended to focus like my energy on a fight pad instead of a stick. And then we went to stick, and stick, you know, it took a little bit. And the thing I like about it is you can fucking tweak it endlessly, you know. And that in itself is kind of rewarding, too, if you're into that sort of thing. What's your thoughts on Guilty Gear Strive? I think that was the last question from Evil Halls.
Okay, so it's really one of the prettiest fighting games there is.
Mm-hmm.
The music fucking slaps, bro. Holy shit. It is one of the best music, one of the best games, fighting game music of all time.
Right.
Soundtrack, sorry. The gameplay itself, not as hot on. It's
you know,
it's a good game.
It
I
is
say
a good game. It's not my particular jam as far as fighting game,
right? 2D fighters,
go. Yeah.
It's a weird pace. Like it the pace feels slow to me.
Yeah,
and it seems to slow down even more all the time with all the counters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if I'm going on Twitch and I just want to chill and watch somebody play a fighting game, a lot of times I'll watch Guilty Gear Strive.
Seeing high level Strive players do their thing is insane. It's really impressive.
It is. It's just for me, the way that their systems interrupt the gameplay.
Yeah. And well,
it's
and
tough for me to vibe with it.
The movement is tough for me to like, you know, because I like fast fighting game characters. Mm. Right. And there are faster characters in that game, but they all seem sort of slow and sluggish. Right. It's weird, you know,
but you know, again, it's tough to say. It goes on sale all the time.
Uh-huh.
So if you're dead set on trying it, I would, you know, there's so many expansions these days. It behooves them to put the base game on sale. So wait until it's $15. Give it a try. Maybe you'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really just depends on what kind of fighting games you prefer, or if you prefer any at all. If you've never really gotten into fighting games, I say start with Street Fighter. It's
the
gold standard.
Yeah, the godfather.
Yeah. And then venture out from there. All right, let's hear from Florian and HK47. I'm going to play the right one this time. All right. All right.
Greetings, meatbags. Narration. Describe a game that you loved as a child, but found disappointing when you revisited it as an adult. Query, what changed?
Man. That... So for me, like, because Steve will probably know what I mean by this. Like, when you were a kid, unless you got to rent a game, you had to love the games you had. Right? You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I played the shit out of the NES Ghostbusters game and Stockholm Syndromed myself into thinking it was really good.
Me and with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on the NES.
That first one. Marona Mia.
Battletoads as well.
Oh, God. Fuck. Battletoads, I feel like, and peace and love to any massive Battletoads fan out there. I feel like Battletoads is hard because it's a bad game.
It is a bad game with a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
Which can be possible. It's possible that happens.
Well, and there's also parts of Battletoads I like, but as an entire product, no bueno.
Yeah, it's too hard.
A lot of those games like that I had as a kid where I made a bad decision like, ooh, that's the Ghostbusters. I want to get that game. Like going back and playing that NES Ghostbusters game, I'm like, how many hours did I waste playing this game as a kid? Because this is garbage. This is
awful. Let me say
awful.
Something else too about that. And that is that once we started getting into 3D graphics, gaming is a cruel mistress to look back on.
Oh my God, bro.
Okay, so like I loved fucking Resident Evil and Tomb Raider
uh-huh.
as a kid. Mm-hmm. But going back to those, if I was to go back to those exact games now,
yeah, not
I would
like
feel
a,
like
a
I would
remastered
be like,
version or something.
What the fuck is this shit? You know, uh-huh. like this is fucking garbage. I don't want to play this. Like, it's hard to go back to those games, like from that crest of when that stuff started to happen.
You know, some of those early, like, listen, the PlayStation 1 has some all-timer certified classics, meaning mm-hmm. like, you know,
100%?
Yeah. You know, the Final Fantasy games. I talk about them all the time, but they stand up. There's a reason that fucking almost 30 years later, we're still talking about and playing Final Fantasy 7. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Those original Tomb Raiders ain't it, bro. And I loved those games.
No,
I loved
yeah.
those games, bro.
That's the
Siphon
thing.
Filter.
It's tough. It like those games need to stay in the past in your memories where they belong.
You know, I think there is a benefit to revisiting the really good ones.
Like, there are some, of course.
Yeah, I bet you if I sat down and played Metal Gear Solid from the PlayStation 1 right now, I'd be like, this game fucking slaps. Like
yeah,
it always
you'd,
has.
You'd put up with it.
Yeah. But if you called me up and you're like, hey, man, I'm going to come into town and we're going to hook up your PlayStation 1 and play Resident Evil 1.
You sure about that?
You sure about that? You sure about that?
That would be my reaction.
Yeah, no, this is the year is not 1996, my friend.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of those... I would say, you know, my first couple of consoles, NES and Sega Genesis, I have nostalgic, you know, like fondness for some of those games. And upon going back and playing them again, I should not. You know, like I said, Ghostbusters, there was an X-Men game on Genesis that wasn't super great that I played a ton of that I got because it was the X-Men. You know, this is back when I'm a sucker and don't realize back then that licensed games don't usually turn out pretty well.
Right.
That being said, Jaws on the NES slapped then and slaps still to this
right.
day.
Right. Honestly, to me, like the cartridge generation stuff holds up better to me. N64 aside, because well, yeah. they were trying to push the boundaries yeah. with that console, and I never
console,
loved that console.
That console is a console built on a fucking foundation of shovelware.
Yeah.
There's like
yeah.
maybe five or six good games. And you but know the, what? I, fuck it. I ain't all gummied up. I ain't got no twisted tea. I'm going to say it. GoldenEye, bad.
It sucks.
It's bad.
It sucks. That's a perfect example.
Perfect
of,
example
of
a
question.
Game that I played a billion hours of as a kid.
Yeah,
like,
I loved it.
I've never had enough. So much fun in my life.
Four players on one TV. Let's do this. I just yeah. shot you in the head somehow. I don't know how with
yeah.
this fucked up controller, but I did
yeah,
it.
But that game is best left in your nostalgia. I 100%. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's a great question, but you know, some stuff better left in the past. But hey, look, you and I, we could fire up Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Oh yeah,
today.
Well, and
it'll
you know,
be fine.
Just probably just about any Nintendo first party game, Contra, mm-hmm. like
yep,
there's
agreed.
Enough. Like if you know, even on the Nintendo 64, Mario 64.
Yeah, agreed. You
know, what Paper stuff. Mario, the first Paper Mario game, really good. Some of the Mario parties, Mario
anything
Kart.
Anything with Mario in the title, pretty much. From
yeah,
this.
I don't want to say every game with Mario in the title in the 64 is yeah. Is great, because for all I know, who knows, they might have put out like Mario Fist Donkey Kong 64, and I just didn't know about it, you know? But yeah, there are certain ones, and then there's also ones that you have fond memories of, and you go back and you play, and you're like, this fucking slaps, like Punch-Out.
Yep.
And Contra. And Castlevania. And, you know, I don't think Ninja Gaiden's a good game. The console port of the original Ninja Gaiden on the NES, I don't think that's a good game. I think it's a game that's hard because it's a bad game. I said it.
My silence is speaking volumes right now. Oh, that's all.
We're about to have the this is the last episode of High Potion.
I quit.
How dare you say that about Ninja
How
Gaiden?
How dare you disrespect Ninja Gaiden?
All right. Well, Steve, next time we're hanging out, let's fire it up. All right, let's put it to the test. And if you sit there and you're smiling, big smiles, and you're like, buddy, this is one of the best evenings of my life, I'll retract my statement. But if you play it for about 15 minutes and you're like, you want to play Tekken 8?
I'm going to just download a stream of somebody who's like a savant and
really good at it and beat it in like 15 minutes and look at me. Got him.
That's my plan.
That's a good plan. So that's devious.
If you notice, I'm on like the third level and haven't got hit yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Doing a fucking Dark Souls no hit run. Let me ask you this, Steve. So, you know, as being two dudes that were here for the rise and dominance of Souls-like as a genre, mm-hmm. right? Do you anticipate, let's say 10, 20 years down the road, looking back and having that feeling about any of the Souls-likes game? Now, I know for certain yes. Bloodborne...
No, you mean like think I would think in terms of feeling like I dislike them now?
Yes.
No. They,
you don't think
so? I don't.
So.
No. Okay. Okay. Because those games have hit me on some different kind of level where like they're ingrained in a different kind of way for me.
Honestly, I have those games too. Like they'll probably be fucking, you know, eighth generation internet neckbeards in 20 years writing dissertations about how Mass Effect 2 sucks. And I'll be like,
oh, fuck. Get the fuck out of here. I'll kick those people in the balls. But look, if you look at Elden Ring, massive selling Elden Ring, mm-hmm. it's basically the same engine that Demon's Souls is. It's just been dressed up really well over these last 15 years. You know, it's come a long way. But that gameplay... by and large is the same. So to me, like the gameplay they've hit on is kind of timeless.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah, I just didn't know if maybe you would feel differently about it. You know, maybe Dark Souls 1 in a couple of
potentially. While, we'll have to revisit it.
You know, that's the thing.
I don't think so, but
the genre of Souls like is going to continue to evolve and it's gonna be something weird and different, you know, by then. And will any quality of life or gameplay mechanics that they introduce over the next 20 years make you look back at those games and be like,
Well, look, man, I'll tell you the truth. I really wasn't super big on the genre as a whole other than From.
Right, yeah.
Until Lies of P this past year, because that finally showed me that somebody understands what it takes to do it. Which means that eventually there will, I'm hoping, be more games that are as worth playing as the From stuff. Their stuff is just so much effing better than every other dang quote-unquote Souls-like out there that it's just not even funny. You know what I mean? It's just not worth holding your nose and playing the other stuff. Just play
it's
the
like,
best.
It's like going to see Tool or going to see a Tool tribute band.
Yeah, pretty much. You a know? Lot of the times it feels it do be like that.
It
awesome.
Do be
that's
like
a,
that.
That's actually a really good analogy.
We got, ladies and gentlemen, we got him. He's back. He's staying on the show. All right, buddy. So,
oh yeah, I forgot I was quitting.
to hit on our main topic of the week, we finally took the plunge. We're back in Final Fantasy 14 and reunited, and it feels so good. Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm so stoked to be playing. This time, me and Steve, obviously, were the first two that jumped in, made our characters. So, we'll go ahead and get this out of the way first. If you guys want to play and be part of the High Potion Yankees free company that we're going to start, you need to make a character, or if you have a existing character, you need to make or transfer a character to the Primal Data Center on the Ultros server. That's where we are, okay? So just to give a quick roll call of who we've gotten sucked into our shenanigans so far, it's me, Steve, Will, Jeff jumped right back in with Gusto.
He's the highest level of all of us.
He sure is. You notice he got that mount ASAP.
Yeah, he's like, I got my mount, bitches. What's up?
Uh-huh. Sal, our buddy Salus Paralysis, downloaded and started his character last night. I popped in real quick on my Steam Deck to do a little money making, and I saw that Sal was like level 9 or 10 already. He was getting at it.
Good. Good job, Zell.
We have, like I said, a soft commitment from King Tom. I've been pestering my buddy Aaron Boyd.
We've been pestering our buddy Nick.
That's what I was about to say. We're missing our buddy Nick. And our buddy Nick, in his defense, has said for 6 months now, I ain't playing shit but Dragon's Dogma 2 when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we decide to get back into Final Fantasy 14.
Literally that weekend.
That weekend that Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out.
It's so funny. He's got to be like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
And he shows, like, he was showing up and he was playing Dragon's Dogma 2 and watching my stream while we were all hanging out on stream. And I'd be like, look at that. Doesn't this look funny? A fun buddy? This could be you. You could be here with
you
us.
You were, oh man, look, let me say this. You were really cute this weekend. Gosh, and like, yeah.
Embarrassing.
And like, it was really sweet. Like, this game means a lot to you. And let's go into just a little bit how much this game means to actually the both of us. So
yeah,
this was the game that actually started us at our gaming group. You and I had gamed together forever,
but like this tight knit group where we have
COVID.
Hung,
with COVID, like shutting the world down and us doing this game online, where we had this reliable way to hang out during that time where it was tough to hang out with people. I can't say enough how much it meant to us at that period of time.
Oh,
and to be playing it again, like the nostalgia feels are just punching me in the guts,
bro,
over and over.
So what's okay? So just a couple pieces of information. Without Final Fantasy 14, there is no high potion.
That's absolutely true.
Because I specifically remember, and because what we would do is we'd get in Discord, we'd, you know, run dungeons, do quests, talk shit about Alpha No, you know, the whole thing. And I remember because we would just sit there and discuss other games. And I was like, Steve, we should just start a video game podcast. I remember saying that. And then, you know, once the vaccines came out and we got fear inoculated, you know, tool reference, that's when we started the show. So without Final Fantasy 14, buddy, I remember the last day I was able to go out to a courthouse for my old job before everything locked down. I was driving home and I was stuck in traffic on 59 North. Or south. I was going south on 59, coming home. And I get my phone goes off and I look down and it's just a message from Steve that says, I'm downloading Final Fantasy 14 right now. And I was fucking stoked, bro. Oh, I was stoked. And the weird thing about this is we picked Final Fantasy 14 back up pretty much exactly 4 years to the date that we first started playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, March of
2020.
2020 was when we started. It was the first game, which was right around the time at all. Because even before COVID, you were in town, my neck of the woods, to go to a Kevin Smith deal.
Yeah, yep. This was the last thing we did like in public before shutdown.
And this theater was literally across the street from where I lived downtown. Mm-hmm. And so I still remember walking over to this place with you, and you were like, we need to play Final Fantasy 14. You know, together. Uh-huh. It's out on console. It's got cross play.
Yep.
And I was like, huh, you know, I haven't played one since WoW. I love Final Fantasy. This is an intriguing. I was more intrigued than I would have cared to admit at first.
And, yeah.
I'm glad we did it.
Oh man, me too. And so, you know, ever since we've stopped playing, because, you know, it's not like we stopped playing Final Fantasy 14 and didn't hang out anymore. No, it from Final Fantasy 14 it went to Street Fighter 5 for a little bit, and then it went to Dead by Daylight, and Dead by Daylight
long
fucking
time
fish hooked us, bro. Like it got us for a while.
I would be curious which got more playtime from us, Final Fantasy 14 that first run or Dead by Daylight. You think Dead by Daylight?
I mean,
I had a level 64 character in.
I know, but
Final
were,
Fantasy that's pretty good.
Two whole expansions that we've never even stepped foot in. You know what
good
I mean?
Good point. But the thing is, those MMOs can be way. It seems like they can be way more of a time sink.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know? Outside of the times we played together. I know we played a shit ton of Dead by Daylight, but I would play Final Fantasy 14 on my own without you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't
same.
Do that with Dead by Daylight.
No, but I think, you know, realistically, I think Final Fantasy 14, we played from March 2020 to like June or July. We didn't, you know, it was...
Maybe it just feels like a year we played it for, like,
no,
you know.
Because, but Dead by Daylight, we played pretty regularly until my life fell apart in 2022. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
Until that...
Like a generator.
Yeah. Boom! Except it's fucking Baron Harnakin is the fucking killer.
Oh, God.
By
the way, everybody, Hawes, everybody who knows Hawes knows that his therapy is laughing about things.
Oh, yeah.
That's
no.
why we laugh about
no,
these things.
No, man. Listen, you want to know what else wouldn't be here anymore? Is if I wasn't allowed to make fucked up jokes about the fucked up shit that's going on.
Yeah, man. I feel like that's like, I'm totally here for that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's great.
But yeah, I bet if we looked, it's probably, well, for me, it's hard to do because I've played so much Final Fantasy 14. Like, since 2020, when we stopped playing, I have occasionally checked back in. I'm always selling stuff on the marketplace with my retainers. I've been storing cash money waiting for this day when we all played again.
You're like that dude in Yakuza 0 who's like fucking secretly behind the scenes, yep. Like running shit, just making the right transaction here and there.
Yep, just selling bunches of low cost items in bulk and making that sweet, sweet gil, baby. And we had always talked about, okay, when the Xbox version comes out and Will can play with us, that's when we'll pick it back up. The funny fucking thing about that is,
very ironically,
is that Will gets a PlayStation for Christmas.
He's not playing it on PlayStation.
And like, we, by the way, the even more fucked up thing is we started playing it the week it fully released on Xbox. No. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And yeah. Will's playing it on PlayStation.
Happy release, Xbox. We're playing it on PlayStation.
Yeah. I just think that's funny.
That was funny.
Okay. Just to break down our main, because like when we played it before, it was just the four of us, me, Nick, Steven, and Jeff, right?
Yep. Right. Well, like our party back then was me as the tank.
Right.
Played, I was a gunblade at the end, but at first I was like a marauder.
Right.
You were a DPS, started as a Lancer Dragoon.
Lancer Dragoon Samurai was my.
What did Jeff do?
Jeff did Archer.
That's right, Archer.
Bard, Machinist or something. Somebody that uses guns, I think, was his third one.
Gotcha.
And then Nick was our healer. Okay. Now,
that's pretty much your party setup in these games. If you're going to go into the basic level dungeons, which are the fun things, you've got two DPS characters, a tank, and a healer. That's how
the setup. Now, you know, I played a DPS and Jeff played a DPS, and frankly DPS is kind of maybe the easiest role to play in one of these games. A lot of times when we have a friend that's just starting to play 14, I always recommend a DPS, you know.
It's the good starting class. It feels like there's the least amount of pressure on those guys, because your job is literally to just pick targets and damage them.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, when we were talking about replaying, Steve and Nick both were like, can we play different roles? Steve specifically. You know, Nick would begrudgingly be like, fine, I'll heal.
I think he secretly liked being a healer.
I think he did too. But, and I was like, fine, that's cool. I'll be the tank. Because I've always wanted to mess around with the paladin class in 14. So I do want to make a quick side note that in the 4 years since we've played, I would occasionally get on there and be like, I'm going to start a new character. This will be my tank character from when we all play. And guess what? It never becomes, Steve. A tank character. I got a character named Vladi Divok. He's a higher level ninja. And I got a big titty goth anime lady named Tarja Vizsla, which is, she's fairly new character because she's named after a character in Final Fantasy 16 plus a Star Wars name, right?
I like that.
And she's a black mage.
Wait, who was she in 16?
She was the lady with
the sales, the like lady you would buy stuff from.
No, she was the lady that the healer in the little community.
That's
she's
right.
Who helped
okay.
remove
gotcha.
your mark from your face and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this time though, immediately started off as a gladiator. When we get done recording this, I'm probably going to take my happy ass upstairs and get my paladin quest. I'm very close to.
Oh, right on for 30.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
I was on earlier today. I did my level 25 stuff. I think I'm at 27 now, mm-hmm. and I'm at the part where I have to fight Ifrit. Like I'm literally at the duty station where I have to register okay. to fight the free.
Well,
so if you feel like doing that with me here,
I absolutely
do. Recording.
Yeah, I might have two or three quests before that to do, and I
don't mind waiting. Yeah, it doesn't take long to get there.
Jeff just jumped right in and he's like, I'm gonna be the healer. I was like, well, fuck yeah. So,
and he has been great, of course, like
bro, of course
it. Yeah, like it's so funny, like yeah. I start yelling at him. His deal was, oh yeah, it's gonna be the bit that I'm gonna be this annoying healer, you know.
Uh-huh.
And instead he's just been excellence personified, and so it leaves it to me to make the bits of I'm missing 10 health, guys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like
buddy. Can I tell you, so Friday night we're playing and I'm streaming and Jeff is already to the point where he can do his first dungeon. I'm to the point where I can do my first dungeon. Steve is very close and Will's a little bit behind Steve. So like my whole thing is if we just stick with it and help Steve and Will get to that point, we can do our first dungeon together. And that became like my North Star. Mm-hmm. And started turning, it was like 11:15 at night. And I was like, hey, Will, how's it going, buddy?
This was the other thing that I was... this was what led us off on that long tangent at the beginning about how we got into it. But you were so happy that we were playing this game that night. And you couldn't wait for us all to do this dungeon. You just kept checking in with him. And I know why. Like, it was late at night. It was kind of... I told you. I was like, I thought about going to bed and being like, hey, dudes, we'll do these dungeons tomorrow. But something was like, you know what? Just suck it up and hang in there. Let's do one dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, but you were like every 5 minutes, just like, hey, Will, what's going on, buddy? You just keep checking in with him.
Yeah. Well,
making sure that he was progressing, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
like I also know that when you first start playing this game, especially if you haven't played it before, or if you haven't played an MMO before,
God, it's so intimidating.
There are
you know?
Some things to like, because you're going to get there and there's a million side quests all around you. You don't want to pick those up. You just want to focus on your story quests and your job quests and any blue quests, right? So I wasn't trying to pester him, but I also wanted to make sure he was sticking to the game plan to get to where we needed to go to do the dungeon. And then we got into that fucking dungeon. And
boy,
next thing I know, I'm pulling giant crowds of enemies and not even sweating it. There was once, so, you know, we knocked out the first dungeon. The next day we did the other two, because as soon as you get the ability to do dungeons in Final Fantasy 14, they're like, well, here's three of them, you know?
Yep. And they're all really fun. Like, they're like bite-sized bits of what the game has in store for you down the road, right? Like light puzzling, light mechanics in the boss fights, but enough to keep you engaged. You're not just moving from point A to point B.
No.
Fighting a monsters, even though that is basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
There's like small objectives that they're having you do. You find this key for this door. And then sometimes you have to destroy this thing that people are guarding that powers another thing.
Yeah,
they keep it interesting the whole way through, especially with some of the mechanics.
And I want to say it was our third dungeon that was the one where I maybe pulled too big of a pull.
Oh shit! Yeah,
and there was a moment where I had what Jeff likes to call a pixel in a dream of health left, and I was like, I'm about to die, and it's my fault. I pulled way too much stuff. Bullshit. Next thing I know, I get fucking magical Baja blast splashed all over me by Jeff, and I'm like, fuck yeah, we're back to full health, baby.
He probably had one single drop of sweat rolling down his face watching your bar.
Oh, and that was probably just because he had to poop or pee. You know, it wasn't because he knew he wasn't going to let me die.
He had to put some cheese on the cracker real quick.
Yeah, my man. It was sick. And then
we haven't sweated it at all. Will and I are the DPS guys. Mm-hmm. I'm currently doing a Lancer, a couple of levels from being a Dragoon, which is all my all time favorite Final Fantasy class.
Mm-hmm.
Will is a Thaumaturge. Is that right?
He is.
Which is basically like kind of a low level offensive mage.
Yeah, he'll have options once he hits 30. Black Mage will be one of them. We'll have to sit down and look because I don't really know the
we might want to walk it through know that I've read that Black Mage is pretty tough.
I want to sit down when we go because he just texted me and was like, hey, buddy, are you and Steve playing Final Fantasy? I'm free. We got him.
So let's continue with the story. We did the three dungeons that night, right? We did them all we did one the first night, the next two the next night.
Right.
But before we did those two, earlier in the day, Will sent out a text about playing it or whatever.
And he was like,
I might have to get the kids over to grandma's tonight or something. And I almost texted back, ladies and gentlemen, we got him, because that's your bit. And sometimes I'd be biting your bits. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to let the man do it. And you sent another gift first, like a happy little rat walking down the street or whatever it was. And then you sent one, which was a ladies and gentlemen, we got him meme. And it was, I was like standing applaud. Like, I was like, he did what I thought he was going to do.
Man, I like that text of him being like, yeah, I'm going to make sure the kids are staying at grandma's tonight. And I was like, fuck yes.
He's getting that wow nostalgia hit now, you know? Like, so, which I'm here for, man. I'm ready to exploit it like a fucking shady dealer or some shit.
You know, and then we just also start to play it right as they have like a presentation about the new expansion at PAX.
And Yoshi P
being the fucking baller ass pimp that he has been and always will be, was like, yeah, I know we said it was going to come out in June, but we want to play the Elden Ring expansion, so you guys have 1 week to beat that.
Chad
energy, bro.
Just Chad.
And then I saw somebody today who was like, for anybody that's surprised that Yoshi P had so much praise for Elden Ring and the Elden Ring DLC, I want to remind you of this. And it was a clip of one of their like updating the community live streams, and he's playing the new Zelda game on his Switch the whole time. And he's like, hey, they scheduled this for the day Tears of the Kingdom came out, and I ain't missing this.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's having him involved with that franchise was really like a huge deal for them.
And just, you know, this is what I'll say.
He is the Miyazaki of Square Enix, in my opinion.
Right now, for like, sure. Yeah.
He's not as dark, obviously, you know, and fucked up, but he's like really great at what he does, and having that franchise, and it makes you feel better knowing he's involved, right? You know what I mean?
Well,
like, and that's what I mean.
It's another
thing, feels good when a franchise you love is in hands of somebody you know is going to deliver.
So one thing that I want people to make sure they realize is Final Fantasy 14 is like one of the biggest turnaround success stories in video gaming, because when it originally got launched, it was apparently, I never played the original version, it was apparently really bad, and then so much so that they took it offline, completely retooled it and re-released it, and now it's the best MMO ever made.
And they were like, hey, so you remember that old shit y'all played? Well, we just destroyed it and wrote it into the lore.
Yeah, like the whole failure of the first version of Final Fantasy 14 is part of the fucking story, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have any interest in like well-made documentaries, I suggest go look up NoClip, NoClip on YouTube, and watch their Final Fantasy 14 documentary. And it goes through the whole process of the original release to, you know, its poor reception and rehabbing the game and to becoming, you know, what a success it is now. very cool story to check
out. That's really good. I mean, if you're into watching YouTube videos like that, one to watch.
Or documentaries even, you know.
Video game documentaries. Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
So good. And NoClip, like, all their stuff is very good, like very, very good, but damn, that Final Fantasy 14 one hits.
And 14 has been carrying the franchise for a little while, in my opinion, you know, keeping it relevant over the last few years, more so than like 15. And even to an extent, I think 16, which was a success. 16 was a very successful game, but I think that 14 has been just the best MMO in the game, and in numbers too, right? Like World of Warcraft doesn't touch it, right? In terms of numbers, or is it close?
Let's see. Subscribers does FF14 have? As of April 2001, 25 million.
That's a fucking lot, man.
That's a lot.
A lot of money in your pocket.
Yeah.
25 billion people paying X amount a month.
How many subscribers does World of Warcraft have?
All right. That's nuts.
That can't be right. 137 million. How old is that article?
That's great. That's crazy. So,
So as of March 2024, World of Warcraft boasts an estimated average of 1.8 million players a day.
That's pretty fucking incredible.
Okay. So,
but
all
still,
right.
You know. We have
Final Fantasy 14 is the better game.
25 million subscribers. I don't know. It's half-assed Google research. Who knows? Yeah. But from everything that I have seen to read, FF14 has the number one MMO by it from every publication.
Oh, I mean, it is. It's so high quality. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, the other thing that always makes me stoked is I'm part of a few Final Fantasy 14 subreddits, right?
Of course. I've rejoined them now.
Yeah. I also unsubscribed for a little bit and then popped
back
in.
Sometimes, you know.
I have seen nothing but people being very cool to new Xbox players and being like, hey, if you're just playing the game for the first time and you're an Xbox player, read this, you know. And like the other day when I was in Limsa Lominsa and somebody's playing, there's a band playing the Ghostbusters theme song. There was a group of people in Limsa Lominsa helping new Xbox players. It's got like a, you know, for an online gaming community, a pretty nice welcoming community.
They do, yeah. They're known for being kind of welcoming for everybody. The way the game is played, it behooves everybody to do well, you know.
Yeah.
It can't really work unless everybody is kind of working together. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, one more time, guys, before we wrap up today. If you guys want to join the High Potion Free Company, it's going to be kicking. Any minute now, we're going to be to the point where we can set up the charter and get the free company going. Primal Data Center, Ultros Server.
Yep.
We
That's
also,
U-L-T-R-O-S, by the way. That's a weird word.
Now, also, we have a special channel in the Blue Harvest / High Potion Discord set up. So, you know, join the Discord. Let us know, you know, that you're interested in the Final Fantasy 14 stuff. We'll make sure you have access to those channels. So, you know, if we ever do raids or you need help with dungeons or anything, we can get that organized. So,
God, and I can't believe that we've been podcasting for over an hour now and I haven't said this, but the music.
Oh my God, the music.
In this game will change your life, man. That's all I'm going to say.
It's so good. And like you know,
I played a lot of video games, Hawes. I played a lot.
Me too.
And the brand that consistently delivers music that knocks me on my fucking ass every time is Final Fantasy.
I know, man.
Every time.
And the amount of music in this game is insane. And the way that, and I'll be honest, with an MMO, it usually does end up happening where I'm like, I'm going to mute this and listen to a podcast or some music. But the fact that I can hear these same music pieces over and over again as I go into different zones and stuff, and it doesn't get old, and I'm like, this song slaps. There's it's a testament to how good it is.
There's a theme in Western, I guess it's Thanalan, right, where you go to the Waking Sands, mm-hmm. the journey there. The theme there, which plays in a lot of that area, is like a top like two video game theme for me. It's like
so good.
I've listened to it a lot today, and man, oh man, between that and the theme from Gungaga and Rebirth, which is like almost as good, like I can't wait for you to get there. Like my mind is just overblown with Final Fantasy musical goodness. Hell yeah, right, good. Now.
Bro, I'm so loving good, this dude. Personal Steve Final Fantasy Renaissance. In fact,
I'm here, dude.
We're going to end this fucking episode and go play that now. I'm not even going to tell people to leave us a review, for Christ's sakes.
Don't fuck with that. Join the fucking Yankees, baby.
I'm not even going to tell people to go to myweirdfoot.com for all your high potion needs. All we're going to do is see you motherfuckers next week.
Meow, bye.